Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John. And there are four accounts of our Savior's earthly life. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels because they're very much the same. You could say that they slowly reveal Jesus as God, kind of an ascending Christology. And John, his gospel is different. It's like, boom, this Jesus is God. Some say it's a descending Christology. And it's a powerful thing to see how John begins his gospel. And you can see kind of this boom. Here he is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Merry Christmas. You know, Merry Christmas and Christmas and this story of Jesus means this: God is in love with you. God is in love with you. God is in love with you. He loves you. Now, it sounds like a spiritual romance, right? And in some ways it is. But one of the ways God likes to explain his relationship with us, it's like a parent-child kind of love. Well, that's what Christmas is all about, right? Christmas is for children. But God is in love with you. What's the cliche? If God had a refrigerator, guess whose artwork would be on the front of it? Yours. Guess whose picture? All the pictures where you don't have any teeth and you have missing teeth and they're coming in, or even when you're 88. Your picture would be on his fridge. God is in love with you. And when others would cast you aside and say, "Well, it doesn't make the grade," God always has a kind heart toward you. And that's what Christmas is all about. God loving us. And the implications of this love that God has for us really goes across all of our life. And that's not easy for us to grasp. It's hard for us to see how he fits in certain parts of our life. But he does, because he loves you. He's in love with you, every part of your life. Every part of it. And again, that's where hearing that today can sting a little bit, because we feel, and there are places in our life where we just say, what's going on? Trust God. Especially when it doesn't make sense. Trust that his love for you is going to make a difference. Somehow. Because that's our hope. And it needs to be applied where our hope is being dashed or robbed from us. God is in love with you. Not just a part of you, but all of you. And that's the good news. And that's the good news for us. So, are you in love with God? You know, real men love Jesus. Real women love Jesus. Boys and girls too. I asked everybody last night to say to Jesus before the night was through, I love you, Jesus. Say it every day. And of course you can say, thanks for loving me so much better. So much more completely. But God intends for us to grow in this love relationship. So when did your relationship with God begin? What? Like Ephesians 1:4, before the foundations of the world, right? God had you in his heart and mind. Through the prophets of old, God's love would ring out even to those who would stop their ears and not want to hear anything. God's love would be proclaimed. God's love for a broken world would be shared to a ravaged world. But we experienced that love when we were born again in the waters of holy baptism, where God embraced us and made us his own. Perhaps we were screaming and kicking. I've had a few baptisms like that. But still, God said, I love you. I love you. And you're now a part of my family. And what a gift that is, to know there's a place where we belong. In a world where sometimes we don't feel like we fit in at all. And yet, in God's family, you belong. You are precious. When did this begin? When Jesus received you. The story told by Luke in his gospel is so fascinating. Last night, our children's message, when the world wasn't ready, when there was no room, God chose to come. But it was really God making room for us in his will and ways, in his family. And that's what Christmas is all about. God making his family. And it's fascinating how he does it. Flip over your worship postcard to the section of John I have printed there underneath Merry Christmas. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. yet the world did not know him. I mean, think of how God did it. I mean, in Genesis we hear God simply said, and it was. It's an amazing thing that outside of time, in eternity, God wanted to reveal who and what he was and make everything that exists. Some say ex nihilo, out of nothing. In a way, we have to say out of God comes everything. Everything in this world, barring evil and wickedness, we see God's handiwork. What a master craftsman. What a master engineer. What a designer. And Jesus, taking on the flesh and the blood of the Virgin Mary, coming to rescue us, to enlighten us. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood. You know, that's like, you know, how many generations of Lutheranism sits in this place today? Not by blood. We become Christians not because of grandpa and grandma. We become Christians because of God. Don't let your family tradition fool you. We were made children of God through the will of God. God used mom and dad, perhaps. Or maybe God worked despite mom and dad, perhaps. But it wasn't by blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Somehow within me I could make myself a child of God. No, not that either. Not, nor of the will of man, someone deciding, I'm going to make you a Christian. Rather, but of God. So who has been intimately involved in his loving relationship with you from the very beginning? It's been God. This is God's doing. You are God's doing. And certainly as God's children, we seek to be faithful. We seek to bring our children to the baptismal font. We seek to receive our Savior Jesus in the bread and wine, his body and blood, at the Lord's table as often as we can, knowing that we need nothing less than God's love to face some of the challenges of our days. But it's God who brought us into his family. It's God who picked you and me. Some say Christmas is for children, and we say yes, and we're the children. We're the children. And God favors us. No matter how grown up we ever become, we're still God's children. I mean, my mom is 91, and she still calls me her little boy. Sometimes that's awkward. But it is what it is. I'll always have my little girl. She'll always be my little girl. And we'll always be God's little kids. And he'll always love us, because he is in love with us in such a precious way. And that's what Christmas is all about. God sending the proof of his love in his Son, who in a sense is our big brother, who did everything perfectly that we messed up with, and then he took our place so that we would have, for his sake, God's embrace. And that's what Christmas is all about. So trust him. Trust him through it all, and especially where it doesn't feel like Christmas. Trust him even there. In the Lutheran Church, we have our solas. One of them is sola fide. So what does that mean? When what we see with our eyes doesn't make sense, trust the Lord. When we're struggling with something within our life and we're trying our best to be faithful to God, and do what He would want us to do, and it just doesn't seem like it's working. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Sola fide. And when it's really dark and practically nothing makes sense, sola fide. Trust the Lord. God loves you, and He'll see you through. Because that's the way God's family is. And God always has a light on for you. And the door is open. And He seeks to embrace. So behold the child born of Mary. So long ago. Look at His little eyes. Look at His little fingers and hands. And embrace Him. The Holy Child, born of Mary, who makes us God's family. And today receive Him in the meal He has for us. It's fun to see my family around the table. It doesn't happen as often as it used to when they were all little. Gosh, if I get a kick out of that and it blesses me, how much more is God smiling today and blessed as He gathers us around His table? Merry Christmas in the name of Jesus. Amen.